It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Nearly 1 year ago, a student-led St. Patrick's Day celebration at Indiana University of Pennsylvania drew hundreds of college students and others to Indiana to party. At times, the celebration spilled into the streets, and some of the students antagonized police. The State Liquor Control Board has stepped in and is working with four universities across the Commonwealth to combat underage drinking, including Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Today, we're looking at what the university is doing to address this problem, and I'm joined now by phone by Ann Sesti, who is Assistant Director for IUP's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drug Programs in the Center for Health and Well-Being. Ann Sesti, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also taking part in the conversation, Ken Healy, Alcohol Education Specialist with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board Education Office. Ken Healy, also joining us by phone. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And let's begin with you and talk about what happened last St. Patrick's Day in Indiana and how that proved to be the catalyst for coming up with proactive ways to address the problem of underage drinking.
Yes, underage drinking is certainly a prevalent problem that plagues most universities across the nation. So last year, it was a non-sponsored university event where students came together in order to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, kind of in the same spirit. I think they were kind of mimicking the celebrations that have taken place at State College, State Patty's Day, as it's known.
Talking about Penn State's celebrations of St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. We certainly were aware that it was a possibility, and so as a university community, we came together, and we also tried to provide events that were taking place on campus. But again, the student population kind of came together, and a lot of it, I think, which is new to most universities, is the way that a lot of this is fueled by social media. So there were a lot of social media messages that students were planning on celebrating and getting together. And so it certainly created some disturbances in terms of certain parts of the community where students congregated. And as you know, some of the videos then that came out of that where students were a large gathering and a fight had broken out. And then, of course, that's what brought light to this whole issue.
And was most of this occurring on campus or off, or was it just a combination of both?
Most of the celebrations that were taking place off campus and off campus locations. And certainly our community and the tavern owners uptown also were providing opportunities for students to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So a lot of the students may have been en route to go uptown and or were participating in off-campus events that the students had coordinated.
Has drinking on college campuses become a bigger problem in recent years?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question in that if you look at some survey data, the Monitoring the Future survey, which is done on an annual basis, and it looks at the behavior of 12th graders, shows that actually alcohol use is declining and is kind of at an all-time low. So yet what we see is for those students who do choose to drink, some of them may be drinking a little bit more excessively than they have in the past. And I think a part of that is also what students are drinking. When I first started here 23 years ago, most parties, beer was kind of the predominant beverage. And now I think we see that students are using hard liquor in a way that didn't happen and has kind of the progression of that has taken place. And so even if you were walk into a state store, you would see that a wall is lined with all kinds of fruity-tasting vodkas and such. And so I think that market has expanded, and likewise our students are using hard liquor in a way that they haven't in the past.
Ken Healy, what are you seeing in terms of underage drinking on college campuses? Has it become more of a problem in recent years? And how much of it has to do with the targeted advertising, targeting younger people in their early 20s and also young women?
Well, to echo what Ann said, yes, with high school population coming to college, the number of students entering college that say they do not drink has increased. What seems to happen, though, is the individuals that do drink when they come to college or university, they start drinking at a more dangerous level and in higher quantities when they do consume alcohol. So that is the concern there. With advertising, yes, advertising definitely shows. Research has pointed out in various studies that advertising does play a role in getting individuals to drink, become brand loyal to a certain brand. And with women now, there's a big push on universities across the country, such things as bystander intervention training to make sure an individual is not taken advantage of sexually while they're under the influence. So there's a lot of programming that's going on along college campuses related to those issues.
Oh, you can join our conversation today on Essential Pittsburgh via email and tweet. Email address esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. Talking with Ann Sesti, Assistant Director for Indiana University of Pennsylvania's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drugs Program in the Center for Health and Well-Being, as well as Ken Healy, who is Alcohol Education Specialist with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board Education Office. We have a tweet from I Like Sleep that says, underage drinking is not the problem. Irresponsible drinking, regardless of age, is the problem. What about that? Would either of you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I'll chime in here on that. Obviously, in the state of Pennsylvania, as well as all states in the country, age 21 is the law. That was passed through federal legislation back in the 1980s. It came in under a federal highway funding bill. And so that is the age. What we need to look at and what individuals need to look at is that the adolescent brain does not fully become developed until about age 25. So these individuals coming into college, 18, 19 years of age, you know, their brain is not fully matured yet, and so they'll make decisions that normally individuals in their late 20s and 30s and 40s would not make related to alcohol. And so it's spontaneous, it's instantaneous, and they don't think about the consequences beyond the heavy use of alcohol, just because their brains are not fully developed yet at that point in time.
And you're saying it doesn't happen till someone is 25, then should the drinking age be raised to 25?
Interesting argument. You know, we have a lot of arguments out there that says the drinking age should be lowered to 18 because 18-year-olds can do everything else. They can vote, they can enlist into the armed services, they can do all these other things.
Sure.
That's the interesting argument there. Okay, well, maybe because the brain isn't fully developed till 25, you know, should we be taking a look at raising the age of use of alcohol to 25? Very interesting question, and there could be some very interesting discussions related to that.
What's interesting is, you know, and I don't know that anybody would necessarily argue with the fact that the brain, particularly of a male, is not fully developed by the time he's 18, and yet we're going to hand that individual a gun or a weapon and say, go and fight. So it would seem to contradict the argument about responsible use of alcohol, which leads me to my next question, which is that if a kid, and I use that term loosely, but if a young person wants to get a hold of alcohol, they're going to do it regardless of age, aren't they? And wouldn't lowering the age to 18, some argue that that would allow for better supervision and that it would be less of an opportunity to engage in binge drinking.
Well, there's been a lot discussions on that also across the country over the years. But if you look at the information that comes out of Europe, which has lower drinking ages than we do in this country, their rate of intoxication, rate of misuse of alcohol by young people is even greater than here in the United States. So that argument or that issue of lowering it and allowing them to drink, you know, under controlled settings and everything, the research points out that that would not be a successful tactic to use.
Again, we're talking with Ken Healy, alcohol education specialist with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board Education Office, also Ann Sesti, assistant director for Indiana University of Pennsylvania's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drugs program in the Center for Health and Well-Being. This conversation initiated by an event nearly 1 year ago in the town of Indiana involving a number of IUP students who were involved along with others descending upon the campus in a St. Patrick's Day celebration that got out of hand. So, Ann Sesti, what is Indiana University doing to help curb underage drinking?
Well, there are lots of strategies that we use. So one of the things, Ken's talked a lot about research. So we really look to what is the research in terms of what is it suggesting that is helpful, because if we are putting money and efforts forth, we want to make sure that we are utilizing strategies that are actually effective. So one of the things that Ken talked about is we have to really look at our culture and what the culture says. So most students coming onto a college campus have already perceived that drinking is a predominant part of the culture just based upon movies that they see, maybe some information that they get from family members. So one of the strategies that we look to really try to get across to students is trying to challenge some of those misperceptions that they have about that behavior.
But let me jump in, because isn't it not just about what happens in broader society, but isn't there an idea that's been out there for a long, long time, going back to the Prohibition era, and that is that a number of young people have identified drinking alcohol and partying as being an integral part of the college experience?
Yes, most certainly so. Yet also, consequently, if you look at some of the data, what the data would suggest is that students have misperceptions about the level and the amount of use that actually takes place on a college campus. So when you survey students and ask them about their own behaviors are much more moderate than what they perceive the college campus behaviors to be, which may certainly impact some of the choices that students make. If they perceive that everybody around them is partying, then they may feel the need to engage in that behavior as well, whereas the data would suggest the opposite. The data would suggest that a considerable number of students are not engaging in drinking or engaging in high-risk drinking behavior. And so that's actually more the majority of the population, and those who are excessive drinkers, so those, for example, who maybe found themselves in difficulties at St. Patrick's Day, are actually the minority of the population. So it's really important that we, as educators and parents, try to inform our students of those misperceptions before they come to college and while they are here in college as well as some other strategies that are certainly promising. Enforcement, consistent enforcement, making sure that students understand what the rules, the policies, the laws are, and what the consequences of violating those laws will be. So it's an important strategy to use as well.
Is part of this initiative, is it combating some of the situation that drinking arises out of, and that is as you get particularly to this time of year, it's February, it's the dead of winter, it's gray, cold, and students, particularly in a smaller town like Indiana, might find themselves bored. So is there, as part of this initiative, is there an effort to create activities that engage students and may dissuade them from partying as a way of filling the time?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we certainly have to do is make sure that we are providing activities for students to participate in, and especially for students who are on the fence about whether alcohol, they want alcohol to be a part of their social life or not. So, yes, it's really important that we provide those opportunities.
Ken, are the universities coming up with their own strategies? Like, are you seeing other colleges approaching this issue the way Indiana University is?
Every college and every college town gown community, you know, the community that surrounds the university and the university working with them, have to use what's going to work best for them. What we at the liquor board, what we try to do is show them, here are the evidence-based and evidence-informed practices that work or appear to work. Utilize them, you know, to get the best results for your time and your money and your manpower that you're investing into this. And so utilize them, but, you know, tweak them to work within your community. So that is the approach that we use at the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board with the universities across the Commonwealth.
And how are you working with the town of Indiana on this issue?
Yeah, there's been a lot of work that has taken place. We've had a very collaborative relationship with our borough partners and town partners for quite a while. After St. Patty's Day, with our new president, that kind of was renewed and reinforced. So they are meeting on a regular basis. There is a coalition that comes together on a regular basis. They have worked with Pima to develop a plan in terms of how to address activities that can happen in the community. So a lot of it is just really strengthening the communication between all of the entities that are in our borough and our township that surround the university, and just really coming together on a more regular basis and communicating, getting all of the partners involved, landlords, the tavern owners, and really getting everybody who has a stake in this together to address this this issue collaboratively.
Richard on Twitter comments, the drinking age pushes college-aged drinking underground and has no campus policing and leads to binge drinking. This goes back, I think, a little bit to what we were talking about earlier, but I'm sure you've heard this before. Ken, particularly, what is your response to what Richard is bringing up?
Well, one of the things that is an effective approach is consistent enforcement of the laws and the policies. So there needs to be consistency. So if university police are enforcing the laws, the municipal police are enforcing the law, if the magisterial district justices, when the cases are brought before them, are enforcing the laws, you know, not allowing a plea down to perhaps a disorderly conduct when it was an underage drinking charge, if there's consistency there, then everyone is saying the same message to the individual. Now, this is not acceptable in our community. We do not buy into this, that you can drink to a point of being a danger to yourself or to others. And so that's, you know, for the consistent enforcement, that is what is needed in and around the community.
But does it make it harder to enforce if, as Richard says, the drinking is happening underground or hidden from authorities, unlike when you're at a bar and the bartender or someone else might say, hopefully says, you're cut off, you've had enough, that if you're hiding what you're doing because you're not of legal age, that there's nobody supervising or keeping an eye on what you're doing, monitoring your drinking?
Well, yes. I mean, that is a concern, and it is something that, you know, if you don't know it's happening, it's a bit difficult to find then. But usually what happens in those kind of cases is you have individuals who, congregate with a large number of other individuals, and then the noise levels go up, and they draw attention to themselves, university police or local police or whoever steps in, and they draw attention to themselves because of the situation that they have developed with their partying. But yes, I mean, if it's something that's very quiet and not drawing attention to themselves, it's going to be difficult to find that.
I want to end this by talking about what is happening going forward with this. And we mentioned the four universities across the state, Kutztown, Westchester, Alvernia University, as well as Indiana University, developing their own plans. What will come out of this? Is there a template perhaps an approach that will be consolidated, that will come out of this, that you'll use at the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board Office of Education to present as a model to other colleges and universities?
That's exactly what it is. These four universities have been willing to go in with us on a pilot project here to develop town-gown relationships, to coordinate their efforts together. They're applying for grant money that they'll be able to get from the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. We supply about over $1 million each year for reducing dangerous underage use of alcohol, so they'll be able to apply for that money. In fact, the deadline for the grant applications is coming up to the end of this week for it. So the models that these four areas develop, we will take that, look at what they've developed, how successful has it been, and then move that out into other town gown communities across the Commonwealth to utilize and say, here's what's worked, or here's what they tried. It didn't necessarily work the way they want to, but if you tweak it this way or that way, it looks like it may be successful for you. So we're really appreciative to the four universities, including IUP, for wanting to partner with us on this pilot program.
Ken Healy, alcohol education specialist with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board Education Office, also Ann Sesti, assistant director for IUP's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drugs Program in the Center for Health and Well-Being at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, talking about the issue of underage college drinking and how the State Liquor Control Board is working with, at this time, four universities across the Commonwealth to combat underage drinking. Thanks to both of you for joining us for this conversation today on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll meet a South Fayette educator whose methods for teaching technology are winning awards. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.